This week on the Inside Flap.
Okay, just touch your foot.
Well, so the foot isn't going to do anything. That's what you think. Walking around.
The most excruciating massage I've ever had. So hang on here.
He smacked me on the foot a lot. He would.
Okay, Andrew's got a knuckle.
Yeah.
And he's approaching the bottom of Dave's
foot. Okay, I'm a little nervous. Okay.
The Inside Flap is available on demand and every week on iTunes, Spotify, and around the world on theinsideflap.com. What more can we do for you?
Podcasting live from Littleton, Colorado. This is the Inside Flap Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dave Benicus, and welcome to the show. Seated across the room to my slight right is Laura Medicus.
Howdy.
And resting comfortably on the couch to my left, that's Andrew Dowd.
Excelsior.
Welcome to the Inside Flap Podcast. This is episode 238.
The Inside Flap.
And we have a great guest. We welcome back once again our favorite Denver public librarian. Mm-hmm. It's been far too long since we've spoken with her, but Amy Delpo is back on the show. That's right, for another episode of
Library Corner.
Library Corner, nice. Also known as...
Fuck yeah! It's Amy time!
That's right, it's Amy time. It's Amy Delpo. She'll be hopping on. She's got her her favorite three books that she read from last year, and she's got some really, really good ones, so we'll share that with you in just a second, along with our own book recommendations.
Book reviews!
And, of course, the
audio book of the week.
But first, Andrew.
Uh-oh. I feel like I'm in trouble or something.
You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. But... Now you, and this just kind of...
Everything before the word but is bullshit.
This comes... No. Now, before you come over here every week, you get a massage, correct?
Not every week, no. Okay. Maybe once a month.
But you are steadfast in your resolve that you get massages and you believe in the power of the massage, let us say. That's one way of saying it.
A good massage. So I believe in...
A good massage.
A deep tissue massage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's relaxing. I mean, it's oftentimes quite painful and uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
But like all the different aches and stuff that I have, I typically find that even once a month, a 90-minute deep tissue massage, a good massage...
90-minute.
Okay. Just has tremendous health benefits.
So up until recently, the last massage that I got was... 20 years ago, and I was one of those Vegas trips with Dave Jones and Tom Hardy.
Easy on details.
No. Well, Dave, whenever we go to Vegas, Dave always likes to get a massage, and one year he got me a massage, and I got it, and whatever. But that was 20 years ago.
Mm.
And recently, you know, theater teacher Deb, she is also a big believer in the power of massage therapy. She sees a guy right near our school. His name is Yuki. And she says, Dave, let me get you a massage. I said, no, Deb, I'm fine. Dave, and every couple months, Dave, let me get you a massage. Deb, I'm fine. And finally, she just had enough. And she literally Venmo'd me cash to go get a massage because she was tired of hearing me complain about aches and pains and whatever. So a couple weeks ago, I went and I saw Yuki, and let me tell you a little something about it. So the first thing, I go over there, and I lay on the table, and of course he does the old, all right, yes.
Just hang on.
Yeah.
So typically with the massage,
right?
You basically get in the room. Mm-hmm. There's a table there.
There's a table there. Yeah.
You have to unrobe.
Disrobe.
Everything.
Okay.
So you know, as God made you, you're lying there under the blankets. Is that what's going on?
In the room.
I mean, paint the picture, Dave.
Okay, that's all right. True. So in the room,
There's also usually some soft music playing.
Right. And then, well, first he met me in the outside waiting room.
Yep.
And there's a couple of chairs there. And he says, come to the waiting room and I'll be there with you in a second. So I go in there and I get the text and I'm sitting there. Then he comes from the back And he says, "Yeah, Dave, follow me. Come with me." And yes, we go into the room. It's dark. It's very dark in there.
It is always dark. Yeah.
He's got some very soft music playing. There's some kind of incense or something going. Mm-hmm. It smells delightful in there. And there's some soothing, relaxing, yes, music that's being played. And he says, "All right, Dave, just go ahead and take your clothes off, and I'll be back in a couple minutes." And he goes out and closes the door. And this is my first dilemma. I don't know. Now, there's a blanket on the massage table or towel. Now, I don't know.
You don't know the etiquette.
I don't know the etiquette. Yeah. Exactly. So I left. I did not get completely, as Andrew
That's
would
fine.
Say, unrobed.
They'll tell you, like, whatever you're comfortable with.
Right. So I did.
So you left your boxers on.
I left my boxers on. Yeah, that's right. Well, how did you know I wore boxers?
I've known you. I've known you long enough.
This is
Dave.
True. We've known each other many, many years. So yeah, so I left the boxers on, which was fine. No big deal. So he comes back in, and he just simply starts running. He gets the oil going, and I'm laying face down. I got my face in the little like a little round.
It's like a donut, big donut.
Donut thing. My face is in it, and I'm facing straight down. And he just starts kneading my back. He starts running his hands up and down my back. Mm-hmm. Well, within 1 minute, he starts hitting spots.
Yeah,
and that have me listen. I am flip flopping around on this table. I'm like,
oh, no.
I'm like a fish that has been pulled up out of the water and is lying on the riverbank, fresh out of the water. That's how much I'm spasming and flopping around.
Whoa.
I am going nuts. And he would take one hand and he'd rub the knot that's causing my spasming, and then he started leaning into my buttocks to find the root of it. And he kept talking about my glutes. He's like, "Yeah, it's all coming from your glutes." And so he had one hand on my back, isolating the muscle that's causing the problem, and then digging around on my butt to find the root of it.
Whoa.
I mean, I had no idea. It's like a real art to this thing.
It is. And that's what I would say is the difference between a good massage. Like, you'll go get a massage where the person is just like slapping your body. Mm-hmm.
Feeling around
and,
for
and that's
what
it.
The,
that's,
the
that sounds like
the causes.
A great massage, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm literally in agony. I mean, I am gritting my teeth. I'm trying as hard as I can not to make any noises, trying not to grunt, but the groans cannot be stopped. I mean, I'm wailing away like I'm the English patient. Certain death seems inevitable to me.
So it was that?
Was
that painful?
It was. Huh. It was so painful. And he's going on and on. At one point, he actually said to me, "Now, Andrew, you get the 90-minute massages."
Wait, I got a question for Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew, are your massages that painful?
Some of them are. Yep, absolutely.
He said to me at one point, he's like, "Well, it's a good thing you only got," I got the 60-minute massage. He says, "A good thing you only got the 60-minute." And his quote was, "After 90 minutes, your nervous system would be fried," which was his comments. But he also mentioned, he kept, like, every once in a while he'd say something like, "Oh, your Achilles. I don't know what that was about. He told me, he said, "Well, you just grew 2 inches at one point after working on my legs." And then on more than one occasion, I heard him mutter, quote, "We have some issues here." Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
I was like,
"You don't stretch."
What the hell? Afterwards, I said, "Do people often do? Is that a normal reaction for people to be flip flopping around on the table like that?" And he said, "Now listen," he told me. He said, "Oh yeah, that happens. That happens." I said, "Oh okay, all right." I didn't think nothing of it. I gave him a nice tip, paid him, and I got out of there. Right. Now, I don't think he was completely honest with me. Now,
I said, I'm going to tell you something.
Yes.
People ask me a lot because a lot of my homeowners want to know if it's normal or not.
Okay,
or
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, what do you say?
And when it is abnormal, I will say, "It happens."
Okay, all right.
Just so you know.
Yeah, and that's probably the same kind of thing that he said
to
me. Yeah, that might have been what he said to me.
Yeah.
But I go back to, and now I got the massage over Christmas break. I go back after Christmas break to school. I'm talking with Deb, the theater teacher. "Thank you so much the massage." She said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw Yuki the other day." I said, "Oh, really?" She goes, "Yeah, we were talking about you."
Uh-oh.
I said, whoa.
So much for patient confidentiality.
I know! That was my point. Yeah. I was like, what happened to Dr. Patient Confidentiality? Because this is what she said to me. She said, how was Dave? He said to her, he goes, Dave was the worst. And was the first thing to her. And she's like, what? Dave's a great guy. And he goes, no. And this was the quote. I wrote it down.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, this was the boy. Quote. He said, Dave's a great guy, but his body, and the quote is this, quote, Dave has the most jacked up body I've ever worked on.
Oh, no.
The most jacked up body I have ever worked on.
That's awful.
Like, what?
Well, so and here's the thing. And what he's really saying is I could really...
That's what I was looking for.
That he could really help you out.
Well, I hope so. I'm going to go back to him. But he also, I guess I messed up because he's like, we were talking. I said, yeah, I'm a big hiker, runner. I'm having some knee issues here. And that's what I think he was talking about when he was working on my leg. And he's like, I think you grew 2 inches because he unknotted so many different knots that were in my legs that I literally grew 2 inches. But he kept saying to me, he said, so you're going for a hike today? I met him at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, did he want to be invited?
No.
Okay.
I said, yeah, I am going for a hike today. He said, okay, well, just listen, when I'm done, I need you to just take it easy today. I said, I need you to take it easy. And I'm thinking, oh, well, he's putting in so much work. My body's going to be in so much pain. I'm not going to be able to go for the hike. I said, all right, yeah, no problem. So I don't think anything of it. And I go out and I literally climbed a mountain and I felt fine. I didn't think anything of it. And then when I'm talking to Deb, she's like, yeah, you're not supposed to do anything afterwards because you can ruin all the work
that's
been done. I didn't either.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Andrew, you're familiar with this? Andrew's not out hiking.
Well, typically
at the end of his workday.
It's typically the end of the workday. But what I will say typically is, so a lot of times I'll be going, I'm like, well, how do you feel? Oh, I feel great.
Right.
Then they start working on me and it's like, good God, I had no idea that things hurt as much. And I've got some serious issues now, my knee, my neck. And there were parts of the massage today that were painful.
Wow.
Like really painful.
Now, do you flop around like a fish on a riverbank?
I don't think so.
Not often. I basically, but there's times when it is excruciatingly painful, but I know it's that pain. They're digging in there. Mm-hmm. They're basically removing the tension. Like today it was my neck and my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get enough movement and flexibility back that, you know, I'm really thinking. So part of it is I'll go home, hit the hot tub tonight. Basically I might do a little light stretching and stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Did he also tell you to drink plenty of water?
Oh, he said
that's the other thing,
drink
they water.
You drink are water. Supposed to do that.
Which I do. But I mean, I don't want to undersell how much, when I say I was flopping around, I'm not exaggerating. My body was spasming.
So
every 30
normal.
Seconds, I'm
let's
spasming.
Let's do an experiment.
Like
here.
I'm in electroshock therapy.
So Dave, we're going to do an experiment.
No, you're not allowed to put your hands on
We're doing an experiment here. I'm just going to touch a foot.
Okay.
I'll just touch a foot.
Well, so the foot isn't going to do anything.
That's what you think.
Walking around.
The most excruciating massage I've ever had. So hang on here.
He smacked me on the foot a lot. He would.
Describe what I'm doing.
Okay, Andrew's got a knuckle.
Yeah.
And he's approaching the bottom of Dave's
foot. Okay, I'm a little nervous. Okay, he's...
Oh!
All right, okay.
Yeah, don't you dare
took
come
his
near
knuckle,
me with that knuckle
and then started digging away in the,
at your,
the arch.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I'll tell you one of the most excruciating massages I've ever had was a foot massage. In Hong Kong.
Wow.
When I lived in Hong Kong.
I bet that.
Oh,
and
sure.
So I had walked all day and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go for a nice relaxing foot massage.
Uh-huh.
Well, the guy takes his knuckle and for, you know, why you pay somebody to do this, but for like 45 minutes, he's digging his knuckle into my foot. Because supposedly all the muscle endings and stuff end in your foot.
Oh.
And you can actually, like, it will actually improve your whole body. And he basically said, look, the first time you do this, it's the worst.
Huh.
And he was right, because every time after that, it was maybe some level of excruciating, but not like the first time. And Dave, your feet, your Frida are train wreck, Dave.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You've been talking to Yuka too much.
Now, here's the thing. So everyone's like, oh, you're a wreck. Any offer as to why?
Wait, he kept saying, really? It's been 20 years?
Not everybody gets massages.
That's what I thought. I didn't realize, like, this is something that we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, this is part
not
of...
Not everyone can afford it.
So, I, you know, yeah. Laura, I know I got... You for Christmas.
I know, and now I'm having second thoughts.
You're going to go down there, and they're going to be like, when was the last massage you had?
Yeah, I don't remember.
So Katie, ready. Like, Katie and I are the opposite. I go for deep tissue. She goes for a light massage.
I'm definitely going light.
You have to tell them what your preference is up front.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a wimp like Dave, you got to let them know.
Okay, yeah. Not a wimp. I just have a jacked up body.
All right.
I was just wondering, J-U-B, you exercise a lot, but you don't ever stretch?
I stretch. I do. I don't stretch as much as I should, yes.
You very rarely stretch, except for recently you've been stretching.
All right, this is a valid point.
And it's been years and years of just running but no stretching.
Right.
Do you think that would have anything to do with it?
Who knows?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I'm so curious.
Probably.
Well, and I'm 53, and I can tell you this last 2023, I hit a freaking wall. And I think a lot of it comes down to my body lost the flexibility.
Age.
And I started having issues with that. I mean, I think stretching is probably more important to health. Right. Let's just say it's extremely important to health, and it's just underemphasized.
Completely agree.
Anyway, Laura, how has your week been?
I've been doing great. So we're talking about stretching and everything.
Yes, we are.
So I have been doing a free 30-day on YouTube yoga class.
That's right.
And it's deep, deep stretching, like you said, Andrew, because I'm realizing as I'm getting older, I've got to stay flexible. I want to be able to sit in the floor. I want to be able to get up gracefully from the floor, move around, and I also want better balance.
Yeah.
And it's just day four, so I'm really proud of myself for sticking to it for 4 days.
Well, I think, what do they say, a habit can be built in 3 days.
Two and a half.
One day can build a habit. So,
but I felt better already. I've been really enjoying it, so that's been nice, and I feel proud of myself for that. But what I wanted to mention was that our daughter wants to be in elementary education.
That is correct.
She wants to be an elementary teacher.
Yes.
But she is worried because all the news, any news outlet you look at, teachers hate their jobs. They're leaving in droves. They can't get enough teachers. Kids are worse than ever because of every small child has a phone. They're all on TikTok. Their attention span is shot. Mm. Like, kids are a disaster. Teachers can't handle it. So she was talking at the dinner table the other night. She's like, yeah, so I want to stay flexible. So, you know, I couldn't be an art teacher, but I think I could be a gym teacher, she tells Dave and I.
That's right.
And she's like, I love playing games with the kids because she works at an after school elementary school program. I love playing games with the kids and leading the games and doing this. And she's convincing it. She's selling it. And Dave and I are like, yeah, you could do that. The test isn't that hard to...
Yeah,
you know,
I passed it.
You're smart, though. But once you get your teacher's license, you can take the gym teacher test, right?
Right, yeah.
And
when you get that degree in education, then you can take a test in any field to become
to
a teacher in that field. Yes.
Which is great. Flexibility.
Absolutely, yes.
So that seems to be the key. If it is indeed a stressful job, you want flexibility within that job.
Yep.
So then Dave and I kind of look at each other. I say,
hang on
a second. Andrew, this is a person, I have never seen her successfully catch a ball.
Not once. Not once.
I've never seen her be able to throw a ball directly to another person.
Not an exaggeration.
Every once in a while, maybe, but not catch one. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I had to, when she was in elementary school, call and excuse her from the school kickball day because she didn't understand it, and she'd gotten made fun of the last year. Because she didn't know how to do it, and I guess had tried to kick the ball and had missed every single time.
Yeah.
So then we're like, hang on.
You might want to put the kibosh on the old...
Cannot be. I mean, if you're a gym teacher, you need to also teach a little kid how to kick a soccer ball.
So there's that aspect of it, but there's another aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because who in the school, in elementary school, is typically putting on the theater productions, like... is basically, I mean, the gym teacher is also the one typically doing a lot of this
I don't think so.
Extra, well, I mean, at Runyon, the gym teacher there was doing.
That's unusual. It's usually language arts.
No, I don't want the gym teacher anywhere near my theater productions.
Okay. Yeah, it's usually not unusual.
But we're talking elementary school.
Huh.
That's not the norm. That's nothing I've ever heard of. I've taught in done elementary school drama. Mm. I've never heard about the gym teacher.
So the gym teacher is the drama teacher?
Yeah, well, not drama, but would work on like a lot of the after school productions and stuff like that.
That is not the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Even said as a guy who's a drama teacher with a phys ed.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Specialism.
Yeah, that's interesting. Specialism.
Specialism.
Oh, what's the word? No.
What's the word I'm looking
you
for?
Actually have an English education degree.
I know,
degree.
I have an English degree also. No. I am a drama teacher. With a license to teach phys ed. How about that?
There
we'll say
go.
That.
Yeah.
Don't call them gym teachers, by the way. They don't like
oh,
that.
Oh, they don't like that?
No, physical education. Mm. Yep. Do not call them a gym teacher. Do not call them a shop teacher. Do not call them a gym teacher.
What do you call shop teachers then?
Micah told me. I forgot.
Oh.
Not a shop teacher. Wood tech. I think it's wood tech.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's what he wants to be
called.
All right.
I think that's kind of silly.
All right. Yeah. Well, you tell Micah that.
I'm
He's
not
a
telling
big guy.
Him that. I'm not telling him that. Okay. But shop seems fine, doesn't it?
Not to this guy, because it has negative connotation. The old shop teacher is missing a couple of fingers. You know, it's shop. Oh, well, why don't you just take shop? Is that another why you wouldn't say take home ec?
I like shop. I like shop better than home ec. Hmm.
Well, yeah, but it's just the title of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
You, but it's just the connotation that comes
I
with
will
shop.
Say, a lot of people are very touchy about that. In my profession, a lot of interior designers don't want to be called an interior decorator.
Right, and that's right.
For
you
them,
railed
that's
on that
slander.
For years. Yeah.
No, I don't care.
Oh, you don't care. Okay.
Call me an interior decorator. That. I don't mind.
I
know what I do, and if you want to call it that, it doesn't bother me at all. But I'm just saying, people do get upset about titles.
I remember, Andrew, in middle school, we had industrial arts with Mr. Malarkey.
Was that what it was
Mr.
called? Yeah.
Certainly not Mr. Malarkey.
Industrial arts. I like the sound of that.
I like industrial arts.
Industrial arts.
I like that better than wood tech.
I still have a project I made back then.
Sure. What was it? The mirror with the wood grain that we had to cut out like a hunter?
I made a chest.
Oh, really?
And I still have a hinge.
What was his name? Mr. I thought it started with an M.
I think it was, but he passed away not too long ago.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, I'm sure this is fascinating for everyone listening.
Yeah, it's just like when Andrew loves it and when I try to recollect the name of a street in downtown Denver. Andrew, what street did you take to get here?
Andrew, how are you?
Good. So it's back from vacation. So I'll keep this short, but we took the kids to Vegas. Did I talk about this yet?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I did. So I guess I can't.
Once again, he doesn't
so good.
Listen to this show.
So good.
He does not listen to the show.
Well, all right, so changing tracks. Okay. So the kids went back to school today. Now, how many of my three kids actually managed to get back to school today?
I'm going
to
guess.
I'm going to say all three.
I'm going to say Dashiell went.
Ding. It's the first
ding
back. What do you mean made it back?
I'm guessing Peter didn't
Nope, did not go. Neither did Mary Kate.
What?
Yeah. What happened? Are they sick, Andrew?
So, Peter was sick. He's just getting over being sick. And now Mary Kate.
A lot of illness around.
Is supposedly sick. But
sick.
Let's just say, when it comes to kids taking a day off of school, mom is she's quite happy to comply with that. And the fact it was bitter cold as well.
It's almost 50 degrees today.
Well, not at 6:30 in the morning. When
it's going to be negative. It's going to be higher than 2 next week.
So
what's going to happen then?
Now it'll be interesting to see who goes to school tomorrow. Now, I think tomorrow at least 2 kids will go to school. But is Mary Kate going to make it to school tomorrow?
Oh, jury's out.
We'll
see.
She's
developing a cough?
Just a cold. I mean, nothing like... And Peter had a sinus infection.
Oh.
And he's on antibiotics and stuff like that. So, you know, he does have issues. And Peter also has a... what do you call it? An easy, light gag reflex.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't take much for him.
All that drainage.
Oh, yeah. So as far as that goes. So we're...
All right. Well, we're keep us posted.
We're generally good. Now, we'll tell you, it's bitter cold here. Last night it got down.
It is not.
Okay. Andrew, have you seen how bitter cold it's going to get?
Well...
I took a walk today.
Now, how cold do you think it was last night?
I went on an hour
12.
And a half bike ride today in shorts.
It was 12.
6 degrees.
Okay.
We had 12 here.
Yeah, 6 degrees. Okay. We're slightly
that's the
slightly
low
higher altitude.
In the middle of the night.
Well, the story is we left our dog outside for like an hour yesterday evening. And so somebody let the dog out, And they didn't
which
try,
one?
Rex,
okay,
the big old furry golden retriever.
The big
oh,
one's
I
fine.
Thought you meant which kid. So let his dog his,
no,
and our little dog.
Little dog's going to be worse than the big dog.
Well, and the little dog, if she doesn't like something, she's very vocal about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
You know? She like if she if we let her outside even if it's like 60 degrees out she'll be jumping on
Does
the couch.
Does Rex just stand there?
Well, that's just it. He just laid down on the couch waiting for somebody to
on the outdoor couch.
Yeah, to notice him.
And he's got a lot of couches over there.
I know.
Yeah, waiting for somebody to notice him.
That's and, like what Nelson would know? Do too. Yeah.
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 And it's like so we let him in. And he was obviously cold, but we gave him a.
Oh, that poor guy.
So we got this thing for Christmas. It was a perfect opportunity to reward him.
A hot tub.
And it's this plastic thing with suction cups that you stick it to like the fridge or wall, and then you smear peanut butter into the little nooks and crannies.
Oh, like a busy board or something?
Yeah, and then the dogs have to spend like 20 minutes licking the peanut butter from...
That sounds like torture.
The poor Did guy's they get peanut
cold,
butter
and
on
you had
the
to make
wall?
Him work for his peanut butter?
Well, let's say the fridge was, I mean... We could have done artwork with the mess.
I'm picturing
with
that.
The mess. Thing.
I'm feeling really grossed out about that.
Need a picture of that. Yeah, I'm gonna need a picture of that.
With the mess that thing made. Yeah, I'll have to send you a picture of it.
Need
but
some
it was a good opportunity to test that Christmas present that. Out.
Yeah. That's really
hey,
funny.
Buddy. I know you're cold and freezing, but here, you're gonna have to spend the next 30 minutes to get a half a teaspoon of peanut butter. And by the way, you're gonna have to do it while you're standing on those frozen legs. All right, so without further ado, here we go. Our favorite Denver public librarian with her three favorite books from last year. This is Amy Del Poe.
In those dreams that they... I wrote that first verse in Denver back in September. It's January now, and I'm feeling like myself again. I got Angel back in here. I need his help again. I'm taking time away, but one.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be back. I've missed you all so much. I've missed being here. I felt neglected.
Well, you know, so you know, you always have an open invitation
That's
to
true.
Join us here. So all you have to do is say the word, and we were so glad to run into you at the jazz concert the other night. So here you are back on, and Amy, I understand that you have brought a few recommendations for us.
Well, Laura had asked me about my favorite books of 2023.
Yes.
And so I brought a few books to share. And oddly, as I was looking back, they're all they're kind of feminist books. I didn't plan it that way, or they're very female centered. And
well, Andrew will try to act like he's interested in it. Now, before we get to it, though, how have things been at the library? How is everything going? How's your life? I know, you know, we have talked about it on the podcast. I had the pleasure of having your daughter Lucy in my class, and I'm so excited that she's going to be joining the Pitt Orchestra for Urinetown again at East High School. But how has everything been?
Things have been great. Lucy loved having you as a teacher. She would come home with Dave stories. And occasionally I would threaten to text Laura, but then I never did.
That's good. No, we don't want to know. What happens at East stays at East.
What is the favorite Dave story?
You would ask that, Andrew, and I don't even remember. She literally would just come home and talk about how hilarious Dave was that day.
That's
and,
all we need to know, yes.
I can't remember specifics
right.
to know. I'm sorry. Although she loved it when you would tell stories about your class and she would remember on your podcast.
Oh, right, on the podcast.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That always made her.
It's just what I look upon, what some people would call the field of education, to me, it's material for the podcast is what I like to call it. That's all it is. Material
That's
for the
awesome.
Podcast.
That's awesome. And she'll just expect a check. You know,
yeah.
Her cut
every time her name is mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's true.
Exactly.
Are libraries as fun? Like, do the librarians get rowdy a little bit?
Do librarians get rowdy?
I
libraries
think they probably
are,
would. Yeah.
It's not like a quiet place, Laura. Mm-hmm. Libraries are hopping, hip. What is the word? Hip hopping places.
Hip hopping in the rootin' tootin' this place, this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, and really what's been great this year, I feel like, was the year we bounced back from the pandemic, finally.
Mm. Oh, that's great.
Okay. People were coming back in. I think we had record numbers of people at different programs and things.
Wow.
It was a great year. It was a really good year.
Oh, that's great. Did you have a favorite program or a couple of favorite things that you guys put on?
One thing that we started this year was something called Matinee Movie Club that I do with the C Film Center, and I love that.
Wow.
I love... being paid to watch a movie in the middle of the week.
That's amazing.
With like 50 or 60 members of my community, and then we all talk about it. So I love that program.
Wow. What kind of movies are you guys seeing? Just like random
whatever's
ones?
At the C. So do you know the C Film Center? So the C Film Center is the Denver Film Society.
Yeah, right across the street from East.
It's right across the street from East. Dave probably runs past it every day.
I think I've seen it.
And whatever's playing there. So it's first run films. It's whatever's playing.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome.
Great. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How do I join the matinee club? I have to have a Denver Public Library card.
No.
No.
You do not have to have a Denver Public Library
card. Just a heartbeat.
Anyone is welcome.
That's great.
You just have to register.
Oh, that's nice.
So if you go to denverpubliclibrary.org and you type in matinee movie club in the search bar, it'll probably pop up. And you can register. You can come. I'll sign you up, Laura.
Wow.
You can come hang out with me.
I know. I think that would be really fun.
I think it would be fun in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Amy, what is one of your favorite movies of all time?
Okay, I have a standard answer that I don't know is actually true, but there's a movie called You Can Count on Me with Laura Linney and Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, a great movie.
That I love.
So
I love
so
that movie.
And
Matthew Broderick.
And I forget the name of that director, but I also love The Godfather. I mean, I hate to be trite.
That's interesting.
No, that's all right. We can go to the mattresses about
most
it later.
Women don't
no, they
name
don't.
That. That's a male.
They don't like
male.
The Godfather. I love The Godfather.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
I don't know.
Take it or leave it.
Even though I can get cranky about negative Italian stereotypes in movies.
That's right. It's the Italian.
I still love
in
the Godfather.
Well, what about Godfather 3? Now, a lot of people feel Coppola went off the rails with Godfather 3. Amy, you're shaking your head. What do you think?
I agree with a lot of people on that.
Okay.
I love Godfather 1, love Godfather 2, do not like Godfather 3.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to a couple of things you do like, Amy.
I was going to say, is this a book podcast or a movie podcast?
We wonder that ourselves every
sometimes
week.
We do ask ourselves that. Amy, what do you got for us? Give us hit us up with some good book recs from.
Okay, so I have to apologize. I don't listen to the podcast all the time, so I don't know if you have.
Oh yeah, no, that's
okay.
Fine.
We
that's
fine. Might not even about. Know.
Andrew has yet to listen.
I never listen to the podcast.
You never listen.
Never, but I hear about it from my relatives who listen.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. So my favorite book of 2023, by far, hands down, was a book called The Postcard. Did any of you read that book, or did you talk about it?
No, we don't know that one. No.
It is so good. So it's and it's called autofiction. Do you know that term?
No. See, I didn't. I don't know that term.
See, this
either.
Is why you need to be on the podcast
now
more often.
Really okay,
now we are not.
So
autofiction.
Yeah. So it's like a it's a memoir that the author has taken liberties with.
Wow.
And has fictionalized it.
Okay.
Like
so a lot of the book
work?
Is really memoir, and it's drawn from the author's life.
Hmm.
But they're calling it fiction so that they don't have to adhere strictly to.
Okay, so they exaggerate. It's lightly fictionalized.
Or they can make up dialogue if they weren't there.
Sure.
And but, so it's fiction, but it's memoir. And as I explain the book, you'll understand really why it's called that. So the way the book starts, so it's January 2003.
Who wrote this book?
And Anne Berest.
Okay.
Berest.
Okay.
And she's a French author. And this actually is one of the most popular books in France last year as well.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And so the action starts, it's January 2003. Mm-hmm. And a postcard arrives at the home of a fairly well-off or a relatively well-off family in Paris. And there's nothing on the postcard. It's unsigned except four names. And the four names are, and I'm going to forget them, Ephraim, Noemi, Nicole, and Emma. Oh, I'm sorry. Ephraim, Emma, Noemi, and Jacques are the four names on the postcard.
There's got to be at least one Jacques.
No, there has to be a Jacques. If it's you got to have a Jacques in there. Sure.
A Jacques. You have to have a Jacques.
Yeah.
And the reason why those names are significant is they're the four members of the family who perished at Auschwitz during World War II. So immediately the family is like, what is this postcard? Is it a warning?
Yeah, it sounds like.
Is it a threat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a joke? Is it a reminder? Like, why would somebody send us a postcard with only those four names on it and not sign it? And so And this is all true. This all that part really happened. And you can see a picture of the postcard. So then the family, they don't know what to do. Like, how do you, there's no one to go to. There's no one to ask. So they put the postcard away. So then you fast forward 15 years into the future. And the author, Anne, of the book, who is also the main character of the fictional book, her daughter comes home from school one day, her young daughter. And she says to Anne, "Mom, are we Jewish?" And Anne says, "Yeah, we are Jewish." And the daughter says, "Oh, that's too bad, because nobody likes Jewish people."
Oh, wow.
And it sends the Anne onto this like mental kind of, how did this happen? One, how did she not know we were Jewish? And what does she mean people don't like Jews? And what does this mean that we live in Paris right now? And this and there's like anti-Semitism. And there's always been anti-Semitism, but the author's kind of like, I haven't really reconciled it with it or reckoned with it ever, and instead just kind of ignored it. And so that sends her on this mission to find out who wrote the postcard and why.
Wow.
And so you go back in history, you go all the way back in history to the beginning of their family, and I forget where they're from, like in Russia, and how they kept having to go from country to country to country to country. They kept getting persecuted and pushed out of just tons of different countries over time, until they finally end up in France leading up to the war. And it's just a fascinating, first of all, it's just gripping. It's like a gripping mystery of what happened to this family. How did these four individuals end up at Auschwitz? And yet there's also Anne, the author, who's also a main character, who clearly some members of the family survived the Holocaust, because we have our author.
Right.
How did that happen? It turns out her grandmother was in the resistance. So it's like history. It's social commentary. It's a mystery. There's espionage. It's so well written and so compelling. And I was reading it in October as everything was unfolding in Israel and Gaza and the October attacks from Hamas, and then Israel like retaliating, and reading that book and really feeling connected to the experience of this Jewish family who'd been persecuted. Right. And then it's just so, so good. And it's so of this time. I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Awesome. That sounds like a really good one. Postcard. Yeah.
Postcard. Right. Yes, the postcard.
The postcard.
And as I said, it's fiction, but not. It's also her family's real story.
Right.
So, and that's also, as a reader, it's kind of a mystery. What's real? What's not? What really happened? Does it matter?
Yeah, does it matter?
Exactly. Does it matter what's real and what isn't? Yeah. So it's a really wonderful book. Highly recommend it. By far my favorite book. I would say the book changed me.
Wow.
It profoundly changed me. Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Okay.
Super good.
Everybody go out, buy it, or put it on hold from the library.
That's right.
Yeah, put it on hold.
Yeah. Okay.
The postcard.
All right, very good.
I got to ask you, Amy, are you a Kindle reader or a book reader?
I'm a book reader.
Okay,
Do you do Kindles, Laura?
I'm pretty much Kindle only nowadays. I used to not be, but I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These two on the other side of me are Kindles.
I'm a book.
Got to have my books.
Book. Andrew?
Yep, electronic.
Yeah.
I'll read a book once or twice a year just to reminisce.
About the old days?
Yeah, the old days.
You know, I grumble when I have to do that.
It's funny. I built a house, I don't know, 20 years ago, and I built these beautiful built-in bookcases. You go to the top of the stairs, there's this little nook, and just these beautiful bookcases. And when I left that house, I'm thinking, bookcases are kind of like a thing of the past. I mean, they're almost going the way of the rotary dial telephone.
That's why you got to have people like Amy and I to keep reading these books. To someone's got to stock the bookshelves.
Actually,
with.
Weirdly, this is an interesting segue into my next book.
All right, what do you got?
So the next book that I read last year that I loved, really it wasn't written last year. It was written in 1963, and it kind of got reissued, and it keeps coming back, sort of. It's called The Wall. Have you ever talked about this book?
No.
So it's by an Austrian author named Marlen Haushofer. I can't really pronounce it. And this one is solidly fiction, but it also kind of blurs, it sort of defies categorization because it's starts out as a dystopia, and then it kind of becomes a utopia.
So
and it's also extremely well written. But so the plot of this book, it starts with this woman, an unnamed woman, we never know her name, is vacationing with her friends in the Alps. Mm-hmm. And one evening, her friends decide to go into town and she stays behind. And she goes to sleep. And when she wakes up the next morning, she realizes her friends never returned. And so she goes for a walk with her dog and they're walking up this lane. And suddenly her dog like stops short and yelps in pain and comes back and she sees that the dog is bleeding. And so she goes up to where the dog stopped and she reaches out and there's an invisible wall, like an impenetrable, invisible, but solid wall.
Like and under the dome.
She follows along the wall and she realizes the wall separates her from the rest of the world.
Wow.
And
she's
completely contained on one side of the wall and everyone else is on the other. And she can kind of see through, and even though trees are still growing and grass is still growing, she can see one human who's dead, who's just still. Oh. And she realizes every living thing on the other side of the wall has died.
Whoa.
Every living sort of mammal on the other side of the wall has died. Mm. And so on her side of the wall, it's just her. And it turns out she also has the dog, a cat, and a cow.
Well, you got to have a cow. I mean, you got to drink milk.
You got to get some protein. What's really cool about the book, so it's obviously dystopic, right? Something as horrible has happened, and now she's isolated. But everything that is meaningless, it kind of shows how meaningless things start to be. Mm-hmm. Like at one point she says, I used to worry about being on time, or I used to worry about my appearance, or she becomes the essence of who she is. Like, it doesn't matter anymore that she's a woman. It doesn't matter anymore what her age is. It doesn't matter how she looks or how she dresses or whether she keeps the house clean or not. All that matters is kind of her essence and her interaction with the natural world around her and how she survives. So it's kind of like the postcard in that there's all these different things that this book is. First of all, it's a survivor story, right? She has to survive. Mm-hmm. She has to learn how to grow wheat and kill a deer and all of that stuff. So she has to survive. But second of all, it's also this philosophical exploration of what does it mean to be human? And what is civilization? And what's important in life, ultimately?
So I think it's fascinating. I mean, for 1963, it seems like a very, ahead of its time book. But it also, from your description, it sounds a little bit Kafka-esque, right? Where you're kind of examining things. Did you ever think about that as you were reading it?
It's so interesting that you say that. I did not think about that as I was reading it. But as I was thinking about, always when I read a book afterward, I'll go back and read reviews to be like, to see what other people thought and to see if I can glean anything from other people's reactions. And one author compared it to Kafka. And that idea, I think the author said something like, when I read Kafka, I learned what it was to be a cockroach, right? So it's interesting you say that, Andrew. I did read somebody saying that. I never thought of Kafka while I was reading it. But I did think about, there was like a movie or a book when I was a little girl about like a nuclear holocaust happening, except to this one island. And I just remember this one person roaming the world and everything else was gone. I don't know if that rings a bell. Maybe it was a nuclear holocaust. It was also a dystopic survivor novel. But this one was just, it's so well written, so well envisioned and fully realized. It's kind of a fable, but it's not written as a fable. It's very realistic.
Sounds good.
It's Martin Haushofer.
Okay, I'm going to, let me read it. Marlen, M-A-R-L-E-N. H-A-U-S-H-O-F-E-R.
Haushofer.
Is that how you pronounce it?
It is.
I don't speak German.
So Marlen Haushofer.
This guy speaks German, so.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to read the original version in
German.
In German, yeah.
That would be interesting.
Maybe I'll go online and see if I can find the copy.
Okay, Andrew's going to get the original in German. Yeah.
All right, you'll have German. Andrew, let me know how it is, okay?
It'll take me about a year to read it in German, though.
Right.
That could be a good project.
And we're going to read the postcard in French. For sure.
You're going to read the postcard in French. Yeah. You'll read The Wall in German.
Done.
And then the last book that I thought about sharing with you is called Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nonfiction.
Okay.
And I don't know if you read that. Did you talk about that one or read that one?
No, but it's real familiar.
What country is this one in?
That one is the United States.
Wow.
It's nonfiction. It's science and technology. But it's by a woman named Kate Bohannon, a scientist. Mm-mm. And she basically starts by saying, in all of science, in evolutionary biology, in medicine, only male bodies are centered. Like in research, we research medicine on men, mm-hmm. and we research different things on men.
Mm-hmm.
And when we
white men
talk about
white men.
Evolution, mm-hmm. we really talk about male evolution, not female evolution.
Yeah.
And so she decides she's going to center the female body.
Mm.
And it's fascinating. It's really well written. Mm. It's really interesting. And there are these
studies?
Just amazing little tidbits. Like she talks about the fact that anesthesia has only ever been tested on men. And even though we know that women process and metabolize anesthesia differently, we've only tested it on men. And so we've only developed protocols based on male bodies, which means women are more likely to wake up during surgery or come out of anesthesia than men. Like things like that.
That's awful.
It's awful, but it's a really, really wonderful book, and it's so well written and so accessible.
So good.
It sounds like a really important book to be read right now.
Does she talk about?
So those were those are the books I enjoyed this year.
I
enjoyed a lot of other books, but those seem to be worthy of discussion for the very highbrow Inside Flap podcast.
Yes, we're very so erudite here.
We're so highbrow. All
right, you had a question?
Oh, does she go into color at all? Because it's usually white men also. Mm.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember if she talks as much about race.
Okay. Because I've heard a lot of different things, and they're like, it was tested on a bunch of white men, and that's it. So it's hard to apply to people of color also.
Right. And I've heard that as well. And, you know, she starts out by saying, some people will say, oh, women and men are essentially the same. It's just they have different genitals, or they have different, they're slight, but really we're very, very different.
Yeah.
Like from a, and chromosome, it's not just hormones, right? And it's not just like our bits, right? It's like we're, the female body is very different from the male body. And there are these other things, like women are 2/3 of the people who have Alzheimer's are women.
Oh.
And
wow.
We live longer. They haven't satisfactorily explained that. Like some people will talk about the stress of life, but there's all these other things that have to do with women being women.
That's interesting.
Right? And not, I don't mean gendered, like.
I know.
Yeah. Right. Men, no, women, we know what you mean.
Like
yeah.
the female
yeah.
body
yeah.
Yeah.
versus the male body.
Huh.
That's very interesting.
And it's an interesting reason why they don't do research on women. It's pretty simple. It's because the variable of like a woman's cycle, they're just like, we don't want to deal with that variable.
So you're basically saying scientists are lazy.
The scientists are lazy. That's what I'm saying.
That's really I'm
glad you distilled my entire talk down to that.
That's what I do best.
That book sounds great.
It does sound great. And Amy, thank you again for hopping on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we really appreciate it. And tell us the name of that program you're doing now with the media program again.
Oh, the Matinee Movie Club at the library?
Matinee Movie Club.
What a
MMC. Yeah. I love it. Yes.
It's great. Laura, I'm going to get you a ticket next time.
I know. I'd like to go. I'm curious
about
it.
It's
I mean, they only play...
We basically have this kind of discussion afterward, but about the movie.
Oh, cool.
That's fun.
I mean, the movies that they show over there are really the, you know, the cool, the art house kind of movies. They're not, you know, you're looking at the Avengers over there or anything.
They're art house movies, but they're first run. So like they showed Barbie.
Oh,
I'm
surprised.
Oppenheimer.
Oh,
Barbenheimer was over there.
Barbenheimer was over there. Okay. That.
You never know. You never know, Dave. You could swing over during your school day.
I don't have time.
So, Amy, that might be your podcast. Because that'd be a great...
There we go. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would, wouldn't it?
I could never do as good a podcast as you three. I'm so impressed.
Yeah, you don't even listen anymore. Amy, I don't know how you can say that. Okay, so...
I'm so impressed.
Now that you're on this one, well, you'll have to sit down with Lucy and listen to it, for goodness sakes.
I'll have to listen to it, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
She'll great cringe. Chatting with you, and thanks so much for coming
on. Thanks,
Amy. Yep. All right. Happy New Year.
Bye.
All right, Amy, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The Inside Flap. All right. Thank you so much to Amy for hopping on. Always great chatting with her. And so let's go ahead and open it up.
The library is officially open.
Time for some
book reviews.
And let's start with
Laura Medicus.
One more girl on stage.
Now, I know we teased last week that we were going to have new walk-up music, but only one of us actually did the assignment. I shouldn't speak for Andrew. I say I did not do the assignment. Andrew,
did you put that request in writing, Dave?
Choose a new one. Okay, there we go. There's all the answer you need to know.
Well, so mine's next week good, we'll and have, I'm excited about it.
Yes, and I saw it. You sent it to me, and it looks fantastic, and I'm excited for that. But you know, we'll have that for you next week. You know, something, listeners, something to look forward to. Something to look forward to.
That's funny. All right. My book is called Zoe is Too Drunk for This Dystopia by Jason Pargan.
Oh, what a great title.
It is a great title. I was actually a little put off by the title because it made me think it could be kind of annoying and like a snarky, full of itself kind of way.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure. It was getting good reviews. I'd read a good review of it. So I thought, I'm going to give it a try. So it's this book is like self-deprecating and the... I've woken up, the world is still awful, I have all these things to do, and I just want to lie down kind of way.
All right, gotcha.
So if you like the movie Idiocracy, have you seen the movie Idiocracy?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
This book is for you. It's reminded me so much of Idiocracy. So this is set in a future world where we've taken beautiful Moab area. You guys know Moab.
Oh, yeah, love
natural beauty, natural playground. It's stunning.
Yep.
And we've turned it into an enormous Vegas type of city.
Like a lot of red painted rock out there. Mm-hmm. It's the painted desert.
But in the future, we've turned it into Vegas, basically.
Interesting.
So we've got gambling, sex workers, concerts, weird food, corruption. It's all there.
Well, everything that Andrew loves, it sounds like.
And we've named the city Tabula Rasa. And of course, there's a dollar sign for the S.
Right, of course.
Because we're classy that way.
That's right.
So Zoe, the main character, has inherited her father's empire. He was a billionaire, and he was also the crime boss for the city, because every city that's like a Vegas needs to have a crime
boss.
Gotta
have a crime lord, yep.
So he runs the city. So he's dead now. He was assassinated, and she has inherited the job, and she's also inherited the suits, you know, the bodyguards and the keepers, the minders that come with this. And they're in charge, for this book, they're in charge of hosting an enormous outdoor music festival, like a Bonnaroo, like a, what's that one in the desert?
Burning Man,
like a Burning Man.
Well, I don't know if that's a music, that's an art festival.
It's an art festival.
What's the one, the fire festival? The one that was a disaster?
Yeah, that's festival,
right.
Yep.
That's right.
Woodstock kind of deal.
Yeah, so they're in charge of this.
Okay.
And it's going on at the same time as the mayoral race in the city. So you have two different kind of big things that are going on in this town. So... this is a very funny book. The bodyguards and the minders are funny. Zoe is really funny. There are some serious story plots in here that are kind of mixed in with the humor involving the sex workers seem to be getting murdered. And then another, like, not so serious plot, but it ties in to the mayoral race that's going on. And even that has some parallels with two people that are running in our country in 2024. And you can kind of see the different sides just exaggerated on both sides. So it's definitely not making, this side looks so much better than the other. They both look like poor choices in this book is what I would say. So I loved it. This is book number 3 in the Zoe Ash series. I have not read the first two. I had no idea there were 2 others ahead of this. I did not realize it was a 3rd book in a series, but I made Didn't out matter. Just fine. And I dove into this. It starts out very funny and unusual. And if you're looking for something a little bit different, this is it. And it's got a great title. Zoe is Too Drunk for This Dystopia.
Very nice. And that is recommended by
Laura Medicus.
In my book this week,
Dave Medicus.
Get me drinking that moonshine. Get me higher than the grocery bill. Take my troubles to the
Brought to you by friend of the show, Richard Osman. We've had him on a couple of times now. This is his fourth book in the Thursday Murder Club. Thursday Murder Club series. It is called The Last Devil to Die, and I don't know how he is doing it. And I've read all four books of the series. They just keep getting better. Listen, I've read a lot of series in my life. It's extremely rare in a series for the quality of the books to actually get better. In fact, by book four, usually the series is on autopilot, and a lot of what happens in the book is the same kind of things that happen in the other books, because that's what works. But in the case of these books, they are definitely getting better, and that's reflected by the Goodreads score for this one. The highest score so far, one of the highest ratings I've ever even seen for a book. This book, The Last Devil to Die, is sitting at a 4.53.
Wow.
If you can imagine that. So that means everyone has given it either a 4 or a 5-star review. Absolutely unbelievable. And it's completely justified.
And I agree with that. It's the problem with series is sometimes they can get very formulaic.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yep. And what makes this series work, it is because of the characters. At this point, they are really just a part of the family. And then they continue to grow. They don't remain stagnant and just act the same way they did in the first book or do the same things that they did in the first two books, because that's what we expect. These characters grow. They evolve just like real people do. And that's why this series really is setting a standard for how series should go. I mean, the mystery, of course, is always solid, and there's a subplot in this one that's very timely, revolving around a phishing scam where one male character, not one of the regulars, but they're being scammed by a woman from overseas who's fallen in love with him, and they just need, you know, this guy to ship him thousands of dollars for a plane ticket to come see him. The Thursday Murder Club steps in to help out. Listen, and if you don't know by now, the Thursday Murder Club consists of a group of senior citizens living together in a retirement community, Joyce, Elizabeth, Ron, and Ibrahim, all with their own foibles, their own idiosyncrasies. In this one, the gang investigates the murder of a man who was friends with Elizabeth's husband. The murder gets the group involved, characters from a drug smuggling operation, and of course, the one thing I love about these books is they're very, very funny. It's almost a gag, a page, and it's character-driven human. So it's coming from these people that we know, that we love. So it's very, very funny. But this one, and all of them have some sentimentality to them, but this one even more so than other books. You're going to want to have a couple of boxes of tissues handy.
Oh no!
Yeah, as it gets very, very emotional. Hmm. Let's just say that without giving anything away.
I guess.
But I love these characters so much. What you come to realize is that you're reading these books, and these are mysteries. You don't read these books for the mystery. You read them for these characters, and they're changing. They are. They're growing, which is something you don't really see in series a lot, and what I really appreciated. I cannot recommend this book highly enough. I've loved all of them, and they just keep getting better. The Last Devil to Die by Richard Osman. All right, Andrew.
Andrew Dowd.
Ever after work is over.
Okay, so my book this week is written by B.T. Naro. It's called Mage from Nowhere. It is book one of the Legend of the Tainted series. It is a hefty 749
grief.
Pages.
Wow.
I mean, that is serious.
Oh, turn that up.
Oops. Okay, here we go. It's a lot of words.
There we go, thank you.
So this is a fantasy novel. Slightly different take on things, and I'd compare it to certain genres or certain other books, except that we give too much away.
Oh,
but the main character of this book, his name is Tarak, T-A-R-A-K, and he is a 16-year-old, and he likes to hang out at the bar with his friends. He likes to, basically, he survives by going out into the forest, chopping down trees that he has no legal right to and selling them. And he just likes to hang out. That's what he likes to do. He doesn't want to grow up. He doesn't want to take things seriously.
But he's 16. Okay.
But
that's fine.
You know, so he's a teenager. And the thing is, he is stubbornly, through most of this book, a teenager. And this is sort of a coming of age story, but it is not this person's like on the right path. It's like all of a sudden everything starts clicking into place. Mm. You know, Tarik is just a very human character. Mm. And so Tarik's dad, his name is Carta, and Carta is also, he's a magician. And Tarik isn't really a magician. Even though Carta is his dad, at least he has not shown any gifts for magic. Carta's dad says, you know, son, I want you to come and meditate. I need you to meditate. And so somehow or another he decides, okay, what's it going to hurt? I'm going to go meditate. And so his dad, there's a special sphere, and Tarik meditates. He goes in there and he meditates. He comes out feeling refreshed, wondering what was that all that about. And of course, what all that was about is his father, the powerful magician, who also happens to be half god, right?
Oh,
so,
sure.
So Tarik is also part god. Hmm. Basically put him in a stasis bubble, and 500 years have elapsed in the short time that he thought he was just meditating for a couple minutes.
Oh.
Right?
Huh.
Oh.
And so now all his friends are gone. Everything is gone.
Wouldn't his family be dead?
Well, they're...
they're gods.
They're gods.
Okay.
Right? But all his friends, everybody he drank with, people he cared about, are all gone.
So was he with a bad crowd? And I guess that's one way to do it.
It wasn't that they were a bad crowd. Hmm. And I'll get to something about Carta. So Carta was a god. And so Tarik is absolutely incensed at his dad. Like, he didn't connect to his dad before. And then after his dad pulls these shenanigans.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine...
Yeah.
Taking Sylvia, putting her in a bubble, and let's just say putting her in a stasis bubble for 20 years.
Well, it still wouldn't learn Heck give no. her enough time to learn field hockey.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. So
or appreciate the finer points of basketball.
So no. Now...
dribble.
Now it's 500 years in the future. Now, does his dad set him up for success? No, he gives him literally a handful of silver coins and says, see you later. Hmm. And he gives him some advice, like go... talk to the king at the castle, which he doesn't want to do. But that's it. Now, Carta has the best interest of his son at heart, because Carta has the ability to basically see the future. And he basically saw that Tarik was not going to live long had he not done this. And so everything that he is doing, he sees the future, and he's really trying to do the best for his kids. I mean, imagine... the burden of actually being able to see in the future and like to actually see what lies in store. It's a real...
That's right. You'd be able to tell that your dinner would take 45 minutes.
Yeah, and I would have gone to a different restaurant.
You
would have
gone to
restaurant.
A different place. There's a plenty of benefits for this.
So that situation, so he has a handful of silver coins. Now, Tarik stubbornly wants to pick up where he left off. So he goes into a forest. He buys a cheap axe. He figures he's going to chop down some trees like he used to do, sell them for money, and move on. Well, of course, the rangers, some magician rangers, they find him, and they basically they injure him, and they try and arrest him for chopping down the trees. So it's like, well, what he used to do isn't going to work anymore. So he's stubbornly trying to do what he used to do.
Sure.
Isn't going to work. So now the rangers arrest him, and so they basically... are trying to take him back to the castle. When they get attacked for unknown reasons. They're attacking the rangers. And so Tarik saves the lives of one of the rangers, is able to get them to medical help in time to save them. And so he ends up getting sort of ensnared in all this. And he ends up getting a new, he basically gets a new chance at life or a new start. Because he now is going to be a mage trainee at the castle, right? But it seems like everybody's against him, right? It's not like they're accepting and everything. It's like, you need to prove yourself, young man. A person who doesn't want any responsibility wants to just be a 16-year-old, and everybody's saying, well, you have to prove yourself, right? So it's the book's very tenuous in terms of whether Tarik is going to make it or not.
Mm.
But, you know, really good book. Now, Tarik also has... he does have pretty strong magic once he actually starts figuring it out.
What?
Yeah. He also has he's extremely strong. He's extremely fast. I mean, he's
good looking.
I guess he's at least a quarter god. He does the book
ugly.
The book doesn't get into that too much, but I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he's good looking. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. probably like Chris Hemsworth. Probably.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's very tall. The book does describe how tall he is.
Okay.
So think like Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
A 16-year-old Chris Hemsworth. And then.
Okay, so just a little bit good looking.
Yeah, and so he also he heals.
That guy is like, honestly, from my perspective, he's too good looking.
Yeah.
He's past the point.
Well, I could tell you a story about too good looking.
Oh.
Yeah. That's going to be my autobiography. That'll be my autobiographical.
Your autofiction.
Fictional. Autofiction. Yeah, yeah. So.
Autofiction.
Now, this book is also a story about the relationship between, you know, a son and a father. And I think it's kind of realistic in that, like, how raw it is, how there's dislike there. But the son does come to understand his dad, and they do end up appreciating each other, which I think is good. But it is a well-written book. There's a lot going on in this book. This is only book one, but the book is Mage from Nowhere, written by B.T. Narro.
Are the other books in the series, do you know if those are out yet?
I imagine they are, but I haven't looked.
Just curious. Yep. Yeah.
All right, and that brings us to the audiobook of the week, which this week is called Dirty Work by Larry Brown, narrated by Peter Francis James and Ed Sala. Now, this is a bit of an older book, but if Amy Del Poe can come on these airwaves and bring us a book from the 70s.
63.
Wow, she went way
Andrew back. And I retained it.
You guys are ready.
Well, 63 is the JFK date. That's the year.
Oh, right.
I don't know why. I hold on to that.
Because that Stephen King book, 11/22/63.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember 63 because, I mean, so
you
think
about.
You
weren't born. How do you
remember? No, I wasn't.
No,
it was
but it's an easy date to remember.
Yeah, it was 7 years before I was born, but it also is the fact that.
8 years. Oh, yeah.
Here's this book. I mean, it really was ahead of its time.
Right.
You know?
Well, this book, Dirty Work, is from the year Andrew and I graduated from high school, 1989. Also the name of my favorite Taylor Swift album. Although I feel as though this book is as relevant today as it was back in 89. Mm. This is a tale of two Vietnam veterans, one black, one white, who 20 years after the war has ended find themselves in a VA hospital, lying in hospital beds side by side. Now, both men, while they are both happen to be from Mississippi, they are strangers to each other, and they are both fighting their own demons. This is a tale of the toll that war takes on the soldiers, a tale that is often brutal, at times funny in the book, but overall a downright lethal account of war and how it eats away at the soul and psyche of those called to battle. I felt like this. I was glad I listened to this, and that's why it's my pick for an audiobook, because it's narrated. The book takes place over the course of like 2 days, and it's just the two men, and they narrate what's happening. So it's almost like extended monologues from each character's point of view, and I feel like it'd make a good play because it's just the two of them talking. And so when one character talks, the other character doesn't even talk. It's just like him saying, oh, and you think that I, you know what I mean? We hear the other person's voice from this character's perspective. So it's just from them, and they go back in time. They talk about their lives growing up and certainly about the effect that war has had on them. These characters are Walter and Braden, both men suffering from crippling and debilitating physical injuries. These men spend the course of this night sharing their stories to each other, stories of not just war, but of their lives, their upbringings, their shattered hopes, their dreams unfulfilled, and the horrific current situation each of them now finds themselves in. And I don't want to, I don't know if it's a spoiler to tell you the physical condition they're both in, but you can find that out as you go along, or you can read the description on Goodreads and figure it out for yourselves. But I feel like it's more powerful to have it revealed to you as you read. This is an all-powerful, emotional story, and it's a story that demands to be told as long as we continue to send Human Beings Into Battle, a seriously literary, ambitious novel that pushes the limits and delivers on its timeless themes. This is just an absolutely brutal listen at times, but I feel like it's a necessary one. So let's take a listen to a clip. This is Dirty Work by Larry Brown.
He ain't gonna pick him no strong young bull with horns, uh-huh. He wants some old cow, slow and fat, won't hurt him. Or some little young fat boy who ain't never done nothing more strenuous with his daddy's spear than jab it up and down in the mud. You think I'm playing with you, but I ain't. Lying quiet. Slip up on you before you know it. Slip up on you even when you awake. Put them paws down in that dust one step at a time. Same color as the grass. You don't watch your back, he be behind you. Bite your head one time, it's all over with. I seen one jerk a warthog out of a hole one time. Tried to catch him and they run in this hole. Old big lion, big black mane. Had this hole they run into under this bank. Old lion didn't get upset. Didn't do nothing. But lay down on top of that bank. He was waiting, see? Wanted him an easy meal.
Audiobook of the week.
All right, there you go. Yes, Andrew.
So I was going to share a comment.
Oh, yes, please.
Dave cued the music a little too soon, but...
I did.
Back in 89, we graduated high school. I started college.
Yes.
And one of the friends that I made was actually a Vietnam vet. You know, older students, basically, at the college there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he and I developed a friendship. We'd meet for lunch. We would talk. And so he was actually a dog handler in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
And he basically would tell me stories.
Oh, wow.
You know, about how the dog handlers and the dogs were targeted because the dogs were so effective, like in the jungles and in the war, but just how much of a target he was. Mm. But, you know, I mean, we talk about veterans and things like that too, but 1989 brings me right back to basic, and I don't remember his name. I can visualize like what he looks like.
Sounds like that would be a fascinating book as well.
Yeah, no, it certainly would. But just, you know, just that time in 89 was an interesting time. Just simply because, I mean, like this guy was probably about 40 some years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, just
and still, I'm sure dealing with the effects of the war. All right, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you, Amy Del Poe, Denver Public Librarian, for joining us. Check out, what is it, Movie Matinee?
Some Movie Matinee Club, sorry.
The Movie Matinee Club, that's right. So thanks to her for joining us. We'll be back next week for another show. Until then, see ya.
Adios.
Arrivederci.
I'm just going to touch my foot.